Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
The season is here, right? It's awesome. How many of you, Christmas is your favorite season? Your favorite time of the whole year, right? There's just something about Christmas, right? It may be different things for different people, but it's truly a joyful time, and it's my favorite time of the year. And I'm going to start today speaking to you on very simple but meaningful, deep, great, awesome, mega gifts that God gives us when He decided in His most perfect and precious plan to send His Son to be born and to come and to dwell among us right here on earth. So I want to speak to you today about the gift of joy. Aren't you glad that you can experience joy? Joy is a good thing, man. Joy is a great thing. As a matter of fact, when you look in the Bible, the word joy or gladness or rejoicing or, you know, that it appears 650 times. 650 times the Bible speaks to joy or gladness, rejoicing and all that stuff. And even when we look at the story of Christmas, it mentions joy in a few places. And I want to show you something in Luke chapter 1 and verse 44. The word says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Does anybody remember that? That was Elizabeth, right? Mary's cousin. And when Mary showed up and she's pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth's like, "Whoa, my little baby, he'll be jumping. He'd be dancing when you showed up." And it's not Mary, it's Jesus inside Mary's womb. And this is John the Baptist, who's about to be born a few months before Jesus. And he's already leaping and dancing. And he hasn't even met him personally yet. Now, a few verses down in verse 47, it says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Once again, this is Mary now, okay? Elizabeth's like, "Whoa, my baby's jumping for joy." And then Mary's like, "Whoa, I praise the Lord myself because I am just rejoicing in my Savior." Even Mary proclaims Jesus as her Savior, and she's joyful about that. Now, if you go a little bit further in verse 58, this is still, we're still in the birth of Jesus thing. It says, "Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy towards her, and they were rejoicing with her." Even her neighbors. How your neighbors doing? Have they heard of Jesus Christ? Have they heard the news? Well, let's just put it in plain English. Have you told them about the good news, right? Have they rejoiced with you? Have not? Okay. Well, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, and this is where we're going to camp out for this season, in Luke chapter 2, when it talks about the birth of Jesus. And let's just go ahead and get there, Luke chapter 2. But in verse 10, it says, "Glad tidings of great joy." I got good news of great joy, the angel says. This is very important. But sometimes people miss the joy of Christmas. Sometimes just people missed it totally. I heard about a little boy during the time of the Great Depression, and a circus was coming into town, which was not very common, be it that it was so difficult and nobody had money. But the circus was coming into town, and the kid wanted to buy a ticket. So he came to his dad, and he said, "I want a ticket for the circus. Can I please get a ticket? Can you buy me a ticket to the circus?" And dad's like, "We don't have any money. We barely have money to get any food, you know, to get some food. We will not be able to do that." The kid was very dismayed. He was very sad. And dad's like, "You know what? I'd hate to break his spirit and his heart like that." But he said, "I tell you what, if you do some odd jobs around and you make a little money, I will match whatever you make, and we'll see about getting you a ticket to the circus. So the kid went out and did certain jobs around the neighborhood. He finally made a few cents. He made enough money to where his dad matched it and said, okay, so you go ahead and buy your ticket. So the kid ran and bought the ticket to the circus. Now, he was filled with excitement and everything, and he was so glad. He's so happy. I'm going to the circus. And he heard about the parade. You know how circus would come and parade through town first, just so that people could see them and they could, you know, like advertisement, and then they will have the circus shows. Well, the kid went out to the parade and he was enjoying it so much. Oh my God, look at all these animals and these clowns and all these people doing all these crazy things. And a big clown came over and started getting in front of the kid and doing some things. And the kid just gave him the ticket to the clown. And the clown kept going and everybody kept going. And the parade was over. The child returned home and he says, Dad, oh my God, that was awesome. And he said, oh, wait a second. Why are you here so early? The circus show starts at 7 and it's only 6 o'clock. What happened? He's like, what do you mean? I just saw the circus. I was standing on the sidewalk and they all came through. He's like, son, that was just a parade. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, you needed to follow the parade into the circus. And then inside the tent, that's where the big show is. That's what the ticket was for. He's like, well, I gave it to the clown. He's like, oh, son, you missed it. You missed the circus. You know what? There are so many people in this world that missed the true circus under the tent, inside the tent, because they have enough with just watching the parade go by. You know how many people are out there just watching Christmas movies? I just watched one last night, already started. But then the true meaning and the true show is when God shows up himself. And so many people miss it. See, this child experienced some joy, but he could have experienced great joy, mega joy. And that's what I want for you and me, that we experience the real great joy of Christmas. So let us read Luke chapter 2. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What a story, right? I don't know about you, but it never gets old with me. I don't know if it gets old to you, but it never gets old to me. You see, a lot of times, and this is a struggle for me, I got to tell you. Whenever we do our big plays here about Christmas, or whenever we do our big plays here about the resurrection and the crucifixion, there are times in which some people suggest, why don't you do something different? Why don't we kind of do something more modern, or maybe do, you know what? And that's a struggle for me. It is a struggle. And I remember one time we did a big play with a doctor and somebody who was dying and all of that for that time, right? And everybody was like, wow, that was nice. That was really great and everything. And I was like, yeah, but in my heart, and this is personal, you know, it could have been the best play we ever did, you know? But in my heart, I was like, but I just like the story of the manger, period. I just want to see the three wise men. I just want to see Jesus being born. I just want to hear the baby cry so I can cry. Because every time we do that and the baby comes out, I'm like, right? It's amazing, right? But I hope and pray that even with all these great stories and all these great movies and all these great plays about Christmas or whatever, the story of Christ's birth should be the main source of our great joy. Amen? That's it. That's what Christmas is about, right? Now, let's just think about this for a second, the joy of Christmas. So we're going to talk about a few gifts, but today we're going to talk about joy. Did you know that when it says in the Bible there in verse 10, good news of great joy? Great, the word great in the Greek is the word mega. What does mega mean? Huge, big. I mean, it's just, don't try to size it. Don't try to, you know, it's just huge, right? To its huge joy, mega joy, great joy. This is what I'm talking about. That's why this is so important, that we understand that when the angel stood in front of those shepherds, he says, I have good news for you. That's what he says. I have good news for you. For a Savior has been born for you. This is for great joy. Great joy. So there should be great joy. And you know what? Why? Because a Savior has been born specifically for you. This is personal. Can you imagine what was going on here? Personally, the angel shows up, and these shepherds are watching their flocks at night. Probably the only light they could see where they were was the flickering lights of some little bonfire or a candle or something, or lamps. Well, who knows what they were carrying out there in the field, in the darkness of the field. And to make it even more interesting is that the shepherds were not the high class or, you know, the top tier of people among society. You know, there's discussions about this, and some theologians think that shepherds were the lowly of lowliest. The lowliest of the lowly. They were like compared actually to the tax collectors. Who loves tax collectors? I didn't think so. Well, the tax collectors were hated because most of them were thieves. And then to compare the shepherds to tax collectors, that's how much society hated them or did not like them much. But at the same time, there are other theologians that say, no, this can't be because Abraham was a shepherd, Moses was a shepherd, Jesus says he's a great shepherd, David was a shepherd, so shepherding should have been something that was very regarded. But I don't see it, you know. So it doesn't matter what opinion we have, but one thing is for sure, the shepherds were not ceremonially clean. They couldn't participate in anything inside the temple or around the temple because they were working with animals. They were working with dirty animals, even though these animals were not classified as unclean, but they got dirty, and you couldn't do that. You couldn't be around the temple. You see, most of the time, they spent it out in the fields. They didn't spend much time at home. They were traveled, you know, so when they came home, you know, maybe they were missed, but maybe they were also rejects and the lowly. And you know what? It makes me think. The angel said, for you. A Savior has been born for you. But this is a Savior that has only been born for the shepherds. And the shepherds, I think, understood this. This is the news that we just got. It's not just for shepherds. It's for the Jews. It's for Israel. Because there was a promise that they probably knew that the Messiah, that the Savior would come, which we're going to talk about that in a second. But the thing is that it's not just for the Jews or for the Israelites. It's also for all. For all. Because it's very important to understand. You see, when the angel speaks, he says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." For all the people. It's for everyone to rejoice. This is good news for everyone. And it's still good news today. And instead of keeping it, we ought to be sharing it. There is no doubt that the good news is still for everyone today. Romans chapter 10 tells us that if anyone believes, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Whoever believes, that whoever is for everyone. You know, it's open. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the what? The world that, you know, that whosoever believed." You know, so it's out there. It's good news. As a matter of fact, it's even good news for criminals. It's good news for those in jail. It's good news for those who are predators. It's good news for anyone. You see, I read the story about a man who visited some islands and in which there were cannibals. And he went to that. He was a skeptic. He didn't believe in God or anything like that. And he went in there and he started exploring. And he met this tribesman from a tribe. And he's like, "I wonder if they're cannibals and stuff." But, you know, they used to be. And he started mocking them and playing around and being a skeptic as he was and sarcastic. And one of the tribesmen said, "Sir, you know, we used to eat people. But we don't anymore." And he's like, "And?" He's like, "You see, some missionary came through here years ago and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And we got saved." And he's like, "And?" He's like, "Well, you know, you ought to be joyful that we don't eat people anymore, because you would have been our dinner tonight." Simple as that. Well, talking about your joy turning into fear all of a sudden. But that's not what the angel said. The angel said, "Do not fear, for I bring you good news for all that will be of great joy." You see that? There's a big difference. Wherever you go, the gospel has the power to transform sinful hearts. Any heart can be transformed by the power of God. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says that the gospel is the power, is power unto what? Salvation to everyone who believes. Anyone, everyone, to the Jews and then to the Greek, meaning to the Israelites and then to anyone who believes. So it is open. Now I want you to look at verse 11 for a second. When you look at verse 11 in Luke chapter 2, "For today in the city of David there has been born for," and you can put your name on there, you know, it's been, you know, for Sino, "a Savior has been born for you, you could put your name on there and appropriate that. That could be yours. "The Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, Cookie. This will be a sign for you, Rosa. This will be a sign for you, Alma. It's a sign for each and every one. You could put your name in there. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." You know what? Aren't you glad that they found him? Yeah. You know, I hope you don't go out to Megan Israel tour looking for the baby over in Bethlehem. Hopefully you'll find him in your heart. That's the manger that I'm talking about. That's where he needs to be, in your heart. And that's worth celebrating. All who hear, everyone, that's great joy. And the angel says, "Do not fear, but instead," what? "Have great joy. All fears are cast out," cast away. You see, think about it. The coming of the Lord should be so, so powerful in your life, in your mind, and in your heart. It should sit in a way that makes you so joyful that there is no fear about anything in the world. Wake up. Be joyful. Don't be fearful. This is news of great joy because all fears are cast away. I want you to think about this because these shepherds, when they saw this, why do you think they were so afraid? Now, I want you to think about this because the words that are said there is that the angels stood by the shepherds. This is not like he showed up in the sky and they were like, whoa, look at that. No, the angels showed up and stood next to them. That's exactly what it says in the original language, stood next. So guess what? The angel showed up in person on earth right there next to the shepherd and said, do not fear. I'd have passed out. I'd have been so scared. Gone. Of course. Why were they so afraid? They're not the first ones to have such an encounter. They probably had read the stories of Moses. When Moses encountered God, his first reaction was what? Fear. When Isaiah met God at the temple, his first reaction was what? Fear. Whoa, I'm a dead man. The problem is that there's not enough fear in our society. God shows up and we go, so what? Woe is me. I'm a dead man without Jesus. That's just, oh God. And then that fear should turn into what? Joy. Because when the angel shows up and says, I got good news for you. You don't need to fear. He's come for you. What you gonna do when he comes for you? You've heard that, right? And this ain't no bad boy. This is Jesus. This is Jesus coming. You see, that's how near the angel came. And Jesus doesn't want to just show up and be next to you. He wants to show up and take over you. Amen? He wants to dwell within you. The shepherds are sitting in this darkness, and it's just a symbol of the darkness of a human race. You and I, without Christ, we're sitting in the darkness, tending sheep that won't solve the problem. You see, because I got to tell you, even though shepherds were so lowly and they were rejected in society for being dirty and smelly and all that, their job was very important. You know why? Because they needed a lamb. They needed sheep to do the sacrifices to get the forgiveness of their sins at least for 1 year. Whew. And guess what? There's still people out there that think that they can just walk and waltz around the earth. You know what? I'm a good person. I don't harm anybody. I don't steal from anybody. I don't hurt no one. So why do I need all this? I know somebody like that. Have you ever met somebody like that? Myself. Before I came to Christ, that was exactly my philosophy. I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't harm anybody. So what's the problem? The problem is that deep, 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 deep inside, my nature is sinful. And in the eyes of God, whether you steal a penny or you steal $1 million, you're still a thief. It's the same thing. Whether I tell a white lie or I tell a really bad lie, it's still a sin. In the eyes of God. But we keep putting that and we keep thinking. You see, the glory of God shown up in his holiness suddenly, it just breaks into the darkness of people, of these shepherds. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to break into the darkness of present society, of people, personally, your friends, yourself, if you need him. This is your chance. In the Bible, every single person that encountered God was fearful. What? Because there was a condemnation factor. If you are not in Christ, if you are not in Christ, you're a dead person walking on the earth. But guess what? God can pull you out of that. And that is news of great joy. You see, we have lifted ourselves up while God came down. And we think we got it going on and that we don't need him. and we don't appreciate those good news. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you were standing at the bank in line, and all of a sudden somebody comes up, grabs you by the arm, drags you and fights you and takes you down and drags you outside and tears up your clothes, messes up your arm, you're like, what is wrong with you? They're like, I was trying to save you. People are like, why are you trying to save me? I was just in line to get some money at the bank, right? What the problem? Well, guess what? Some guys came in through the back door of the bank, and they have some hostages back there. You didn't know that, but I was trying to save you from that. Oh, that changes everything, right? All of a sudden, I'm joyful that you came over and dragged me and dislocated my arm and broke all my clothes. Tear me all up, but get me out of there, right? Well, the same thing happens. We're trying to get people to believe in Christ and that they need to be saved. But people believe they don't need to be saved because they don't see the danger. They don't see what's going on. That's because of the blindness, spiritual blindness. And here comes the angel and says, I got great news that for you, a Savior has been born. No need to fear. You're in danger, but don't worry. We need to perceive that danger. The Bible says that if you have not received Christ Jesus, that if you have not believed in him, and if you have not realized it, you're in the greatest, in the mega danger zone. That's all there is to it. Eternal danger. You would have to stand before God in a state of fear. When God comes, there's so many who are going to think, oh my God, I should have, I could have, I would have. Standing in fear before God, trembling, waiting to be doomed. But God doesn't want you to have to face him in fear. He wants you to face him experiencing the joy of meeting him. And he wants to do that right now. He doesn't want you to wait till you get there. When you leave this place, he wants you to know his joy now so that when you see him, you'll be joyful in Christ that I've seen him with my own eyes. What a great experience. See, God is not in the business of scaring people. He's in the business of saving people. It's very different. This is what the angel was trying to tell him. Jesus came to save us, not to scare us. This is very important. God wants you, he doesn't want you to run from him. He wants you to run to him. That's why he came. So you can lose your fear when God is near. See, when he comes, he takes away all fears if you truly believe him. But not only that, that joy is because God has fulfilled his promise to be present. God fulfilled his promise to be present. He said, there's been born for you. He's been there for you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be there. He's been born unto you. In other translations, it says, for a child has been born unto you. I have come to visit. But not only visit, but I've come to dwell among you. I've come to stay with you. Jesus is trying to say, the angel's starting to say, you know what? There's a child out there saying, I'm here. Come and see me and experience the greatest joy because of my presence. And who is he? Of course, the angel says, a child has been born. And who is he? Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. He made sure that these shepherds knew the title and knew exactly who he was because these shepherds had been waiting for the Messiah. The nation of Israel had been waiting for a Messiah for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You know what? In life, you may face rejection from friends, from family, from your children, from your parents, from your spouses, from whomever it is. But I tell you, there's one thing that's important, and listen well. You can be joyful because the groom has come. Your best friend is here. Your father is near. He has included you in his family. You are his child, and he's your best friend, and he's here. That's what the angels were trying to tell these shepherds. Look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. The prophet says, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, oh, and you can put your name on there, says Jacob. Jacob meaning Israel, of course. But your creator, oh, Jacob, and he who formed you, oh, Israel. You can put your name there. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. He is for you, not against you. That's why the angel said to them, for unto you a child is born. For you. It's on your behalf. He's come to protect, he's come to preserve, he's come to defend, he's come to keep those who trust him. That's a great message to tell people. And God has fulfilled his promise. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just because Jesus came and dwelt as a man and then left doesn't mean he left us alone. He said very clear, and don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will be with you every single day all the way to the corners of the earth. And I'm going to send over you and with you and through you and in you the Holy Spirit of God to keep you company. You will not be alone. Your presence, the presence of God, is within us. Amen. The joy of the Lord. What a joy to know that he's present. And the result, it ought to be just praise and worship. You know, the joy of the Lord results in true worship. That's what should happen in our lives. I want you to look at the end of the story in verse 20. After the shepherds were talking to the people and Mary and Joseph and those who were present, he says in verse 20, he says, the shepherds went back. Where did they go back? They went back to the fields, probably because they had their sheep out there. And you know what? The wolves are out there and that's their business. That's most likely how they get their bread and butter. So they went back, but they went back differently. They went back differently. It says they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What an amazing thing. I want you to think about this. When the shepherds were in that lonely, dark field with their little lambs, here comes the angel and gives them the great news. But a host, I'm pretty sure there was hundreds of thousands, who knows how many angels in the heavens just saying glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Oh my God, can you imagine the vision? Now there's an angel standing right here, but there's a whole bunch of them singing praise and worship to the God of the heavens. And this is, oh my God, but I want you to think about this because only those shepherds out in the dark saw this. This display of majesty and glory and these angels worshiping God all the way out there in those dark fields. But check this out. Nobody on earth, no one on earth heard those angels. No one but them. Not even Mary and Joseph. When they went to see the baby, Joseph and Mary didn't say, oh yeah, we heard the angels singing too, man. That was awesome. No one had heard the angels. No one heard the good news. No one heard the praise and worship of the angels. Only the shepherds. And then when they left, what did they do? They said, okay, well, they were singing up in heaven, so guess what we're going to do? We're going to be singing down here on earth. They took the job of the angels down here and started singing the glory and the praise of God. That's the result. Not just glory in the highest, but glory among the lowest. The glory of God manifested to everyone who believes. You see, those who were rejected by society, now God used to imitate the angels in praise and worship. What a privilege. That's why I ask, how many truly rejoice in this Christmas? That's important question, but even more important, what is the real reason why you are so joyful during Christmas? What is the real reason? What is it? Is it the lights? Is it getting together with family? Is it dinner at the table? Is it giving gifts? Some people get really excited about giving, not just getting, but giving or getting gifts or dressing up in red. What is the real joy? What is it that makes you joyful? I wanted to wear a red shirt today, but I said, you know what? I thought about it. I said, well, it's like three or four red shirts. Maybe I should wear one every Sunday. And I said, nah. right? But what is the joy of Christmas for you? Going to City Park and looking at the lights? I don't know. I don't know what it is. There was a man who lived in New York many, many years ago, and his mom came to visit. It was a country family, it was a rural, and she lived in the rural area, and she came to Manhattan to visit. So her son said, "Mom, I want to take you to different places so you can see, you know, Rockefeller Center and the big tree and the people ice skating. And I want to take you to see some lights and stuff around the city." And they went to this particular store, and it had some windows with different sceneries, and every window had a theme. And the first window that they saw had a big scroll that read, "The smell of Christmas is in the kitchen." And it had portrayed an old-fashioned kitchen with a stove and some food cooking on it and smoke. And, you know, "The smell of Christmas is in the kitchen." And as they went to the next window said, "The taste of Christmas is in the dining room." And it had a dining room set up with a big dinner on it and people sitting and having such a great time. I mean, mouth-watering, right? And then the next window as they went through, it said, "The color of Christmas is in the tree." And there was a big tree with a lot of ornaments and lights and kids and presents all around it. Now, when they went to the fourth window, the scroll said, "The sound of Christmas is in the carols." And, of course, there was a scene with a group of people that were singing carols at the window. Then it was the main entrance to the store. And, of course, he says he noticed that after passing all of those windows, the main entrance, there was not much to it. And people just go in there and shop. But then he said as they went into the store and they kept going all the way down, all the way in the back of the store, there was another scene portrayed with a big scroll that said, "But the heart and soul of Christmas is here." And there it was, the manger, Mary and Joseph, the baby, the cattle. See, I got to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with lights. There's nothing wrong with food. There's nothing wrong with all of that. Amen? But guess what? The true meaning of Christmas, what really brings great joy and what should give you great joy, is this scene at the manger that God sent a Savior for you and me, just like Luke has told us. If you have not surrendered at the presence of this baby that was born in Bethlehem, who became a man and went to the cross and died for you and me and was resurrected with power on the third day and ascended into the heavens to go prepare a place for those who believe. If you have not surrendered your heart to him and recognized your condition, recognize your posture before him, which is you're a sinner, you will never experience the true great joy of Christmas. And that's the joy that it's not just available, but we all need. So I hope and pray that nobody in here experiences what that little boy experienced. Watch the parade go by and never actually make it to the circus. God has not forgotten you, man. The awaited promise came. For hundreds of years, Israel was waiting. And he came. It is true. Sometimes we forget that he came once. And sometimes we even forget that he'll be back again. Jesus himself came to visit. And Jesus himself wants to dwell and stay with you and me. The joy, the great joy, the mega joy, the true joy that he offers can become permanent in your life if you allow him to stay in your life permanently. So be joyful, for the one who came for you personally.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.